Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Damon. Take Five arts correspondent Lynn Harrison is also our resident troubadour. For those of you who have been listening to Take Five for a long time, you'll remember Lynn, of course, from she used to write a song a week for the show based on something that happened during that week or a particular feature that, piqued her curiosity or interest or a book interview. Last year, she wrote a song called The World Will Turn, and we were talking today about this Earth Hour that's happening tomorrow. We haven't really given it much coverage. It doesn't need much coverage.
No, it's got so much coverage.
It's
everywhere. You can't miss it. You can't
miss it. We thought we'd hear that song, and we thought we'd talk a little bit about the idea that of whether social issue songs and stories have an impact if they're only heard by a few people. Lynn's written many of those songs based on stories and features, and you know, who knows what size audience heard it. What do you think, Lynn?
Well, you know, it's funny about Earth Hour because I went to my song from last year. I put it up on the YouTube site, and it's got something like 150 views, you know, woohoo, you know, next to a whole lot of other videos on YouTube that have thousands and thousands views,
yeah.
You know, and it got me thinking, you know, that in our culture, we're kind of obsessed with this notion of numbers and reach. How big is your audience? And a question that I get from time to time with different songs, you know, I'll play a song at a show. This happened to me last weekend, actually. I played a song, someone loved it, and he said, "You better get that song to Sarah McLachlan. You should get that song to Sarah McLachlan so that it can reach a whole lot of people." You know, and I wanted to say, well, gosh, you know, it reached you, and it reached these people in this room. You know, why does it have to go big or go home?
Right.
And so I'm always trying to challenge that, because in my situation and in the situation of other independent artists, you know, we have the audiences we have, mm-hmm. and the challenge becomes how do we make that really count?
I guess that's so true. And there are so many artists out there that have got important things to say. And I guess my point is always, too, that you reach that person, and that person will then talk to somebody else about, I saw Lynn Harrison. She did this song. God, she should get it out too. And then that person, it creates a bit of a buzz.
Or, apart from the buzz that the song might create, what I hope to do, really, is because you're trying to communicate a feeling or a truth that you've discovered, you want to communicate that as clearly as possible. You want people to come away with that truth.
Right.
Even if they don't remember you as an artist or remember the song, if they remember the intent of it, and if that changes their life, if that influences them, that's where it has the impact. And again, I think we get a little confused in our culture about what a song is. We think of it as a consumer item. We think of it as an item of entertainment rather than a vehicle of social change.
Exactly. And I guess that's what that's really more what I meant. Even though that excitement, that person would create that buzz, it would be about the content.
Yes, that's
probably
right.
Hopefully more than just the fact that there was a great melody or a great, you know, guitar riff. But the protest song, because this, you know, I grew up in an era when there were great protest singers out there. And that's really sort of what it was all about when there was an issue that you wanted to tackle. Yeah. Do you think people are still writing protest songs?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a real resurgence of that right now, actually, because I think writing a song is something that you actually can do. You know, there are these huge problems, and we all feel pretty overwhelmed by them, that maybe we don't have a lot of clout or power or even money. But if you can write a good song, and if you can play it for an audience, if you can get a message across. Now, it's not an editorial set to music, and that's a different thing. Sometimes, I was listening to one writer recently who had this intention, but what he had effectively done was kind of taken a newspaper article and put some chords behind it.
Right.
You know, well, that's not really a good song.
Exactly,
you know, it's not really a song. But if you use the power of music, which is the power to evoke emotion, if you and poetry, you know, if you use lyrics in a way that makes the message more powerful, you really can have some sway in the world. And right now, with the problems being so large, I think that's why we're seeing more songwriters take up the political songwriting challenge, I think.
And I guess it's important to have that belief that, you know, even if it only listens or even if it only reaches one person, then that's really all that matters. Because I know that it's often frustrating from where I sit, and the people that are involved in the show, they often ask me, well, what kind of feedback do we get from our audience?
Right, right.
Generally speaking, you know, you'll get feedback when it's negative. That's instantaneous.
That's
by the time the red light goes off and I go and check the feedback email. But you very rarely hear unless something really moved them and it was a very powerful piece. Generally speaking, people don't let you know how it feels or how they feel or how it impacted them. So is it? Does that ever frustrate you? Do you ever say to yourself, "I wonder who heard that"? I wonder if it's having an impact.
Oh, absolutely. I think that sure there is that question. You know, how many people are listening right now? And I think if you get obsessed by that, you know, it's easy to kind of to quit. You know, to think this isn't worth doing. That's why I like going out and finding individual audiences. And I always encourage other songwriters to find whatever audience they can. So for example, with The World Will Turn, the song I'm going to sing now, you know, I went out to an open mic on Wednesday night, you know, played it for, say, 30 people, you know, small audience, obscure open mic, but I played that song. I'm playing it today, and then I'm playing at a house concert tonight. So again, private venue, nothing splashy, but, you know, reaching 20 real people. So yeah, for me, there's some frustration in kind of putting it out in the world and not knowing what happens to it. But there's a satisfaction in playing it for one individual or a few individuals and maybe even talking about it later.
Well, I think I so agree with you. And that's what, you know, people on the show, myself included, and the people that support Take Five, is that's why we do it. That's what keeps us going every day. Is it isn't important that whether we're reaching 50,000 people or we're reaching 5 people, that the message that we're giving is something that they're interested in hearing, that they're going to get a different take on something than they might get somewhere else, and that they're loyal, and that community grows and grows. It is about that community.
Yes, exactly.
And you don't necessarily need that feedback right away. Although
there's also, have you heard of the butterfly effect? You know, you remember the butterfly effect?
Yeah.
That was, you know, back in the early 70s when some scientists, theorized that the flapping of a butterfly wing could cause, you know, in one part of the world, could cause a tornado, you know, somewhere else because of chaos theory, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, this is a world of chaos, if ever there was one. So I think, you know, if you kind of apply that idea of the butterfly effect to whatever song or message or story or small action you can take, there's that sense that it could be magnified if other people are taking those small actions, which brings us to Earth Hour.
Yes. Which is not a small action anymore.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of critics that say this is something that's just a publicity stunt. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so it's 1 hour, big deal, and it might have been good initially. People are now more aware, more conscious of it. I don't know. It's great to, but it is a little bit corporate for my liking.
Yeah, no, I have that feeling as well. I think on the, you know, in the advertising side of it and the way it's being promoted, I find it fairly corporate and a little off-putting. But I really like the idea that the individual action, you can take this individual simple action, and that it's collective. You know, everybody's doing the same thing. If everybody does those small actions that you can take, it's a wonderful symbol of that, I think, a visual symbol, and there's a beauty in it. I like it. I like it from a poetic standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think symbolically it's important. But the way it's sort of being promoted, I think there's a, you know, it's a trendy kind of, it's got this cachet. What are you doing for, you know, I don't know. I turn off my lights most of the time, right?
So right.
I sit in the dark and try to grow. No, but I mean, I think it is more important that, but you're right. I understand that you're talking globally. There's all these cities, all these people doing one thing at the same time. And there is something very romantic about that. There's something very poetic about that. One last question before we hear the song. Are you surprised sometimes by people's reaction to songs? You think that, you know what, I think this says a certain thing and somebody will interpret it a different way than you've expected. What surprises you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you do put it out there and you don't have any control over how it's viewed. And I've been amazed by that many, many times. One song of mine, actually, it uses the word recognize. The song is "I Would Recognize You Anywhere," and the intent of the song was, you know, I would recognize you by the, you know, your facial features and your, you know, your complexion, and because you're sort of part of my family. And a man who heard it said he took that to mean I would recognize you, I would validate you, you know, I would hold you up, I would give you recognition. And I had never thought of that interpretation, but that was very meaningful for him because of certain circumstances in his life. So I wasn't going to say, actually, you know what, that wasn't what I meant. you got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know, you put it out, and I guess the thing is, it does the work in the world it's supposed to do, and all we have control over is the doing it. We have to show up. We've got to do our part, even if we think our part is small, we've got to show up. We've got to do it. It's personal responsibility.
Exactly. Well said. Well, on that note, thanks for coming in as always, Lynn. This is Lynn Harrison with a song called The World Will Turn.
Thanks, Dave.
I'll turn off all my bright blue screens, and the world will turn. Unplug all my cool machines, and the world will turn. For 1 hour of one night, we will. Of each day, if we find new ways we can stand, then the world will turn. Turn, will turn. So darling, let those shadows fall, so the world will turn. Stoke the flame that fuels us all, so the world will turn. In this hour, in our time, may we learn to shine. So the world will turn. I'll turn off all my bright blue screens, so the world will turn.
Lynn Harrison. Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
For more information on the songs, Lynn's collection and repertoire of songs, her past albums, just what she's doing, go to our website, www.take5.fm. And we've also linked the video or the YouTube link there for that song as well.